Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Casting Seeds. I'm Savannah, your host.
Jeremiah, your co-host.
And you're listening to the only holistic health podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individualized discernment. So what are we talking about today, Jeremiah?
We are talking about sustainable living with our holistic healthcare.
Yeah. We know that people were interested in hearing the rest of the book from last week, but we got a ton of feedback. I mean, I should say most of the feedback was that people were overwhelmed at how to buy and get all these things for their herbs, for their mental health, for their physical health, to support their brain, their liver, everything and anything you can think of. And I realized that one, many of those people did not listen to the Holistic 101 episode, which if you haven't, and you feel overwhelmed by jumping in to the holistic lifestyle, or if you're not a Christian, the holistic lifestyle, just living holistically and sustainably, it's not as scary as you think. And Jeremiah and I just wanted to give a short and sweet little episode today about how easy it really is and how inexpensive it is, right, babe?
Yeah, and also just like you're investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like stop thinking of this as money and it's your body. We only have one body and we're not gonna have a perfect body until we get to heaven.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's the thing too, I know, you know, being a Christian, sanctification is daily growth, right? Daily being sanctified, yep, and walking with Christ and growing closer to him. But outside of sanctification, if we're focusing on just healthcare, I mean, you can't, as a Christian, you can't really separate those things. But that's why Jeremiah and I kind of made like a three-part little list-a-rooney on how to accomplish all of your healthcare goals.
So first, who are we doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Number two, what is your healthcare history and your healthcare goals? Not just your goals, not just your history. You need your healthcare history and your healthcare goals. And the last one?
The last one, number three, what are your operational steps?
Yeah. How are you going to get there? What are you going to do to get there? So just to cover it again, who are you doing this for? What is your healthcare history and goals? And what are the operational steps?
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. I feel like this is an easy breakdown, at least for us. It took a little while for Jeremiah and I to cultivate that, to make it super simple, pimple, because you guys are going to pop this into your life.
So what is the answer to number one?
Who are you doing this for? Well, we're Christians. So everything that we do is glorifying to the Lord. Everything that we do.
So we only see the holistic version of this.
Right.
A holistic one, we don't have an opinion.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, when we think about sanctification, growing closer to Christ, that happens in our everyday life. So no matter what we're doing, whether it's, you know, trying to focus on our health, trying to love on our neighbor, growing the church, evangelism, everything has to do with some sort of sanctification. And, you know, The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges is probably one of my favorite books on this topic. Jeremiah, have you ever read that?
No.
No, I'll have to give you, that's what's nice about being married. I can just give you my book.
It's my book already.
It's our book. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 talks about how sanctification is God's will for us. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." And then it goes on.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think John 17:17, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is the truth." Growing in the Lord's word, I think, is one of the best ways to be sanctified.
Yeah, because to sanctify something is to set it apart for a special use. To sanctify a person is to make him holy, right? Yeah,
and then we have to disciple each other and be discipled.
Exactly.
It's like one of the biggest parts of being sanctified.
Well, so. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "And because of him, you are in Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption," right? So if we're having a relationship with a redeeming, sanctifying, perfect God who is holy, and who is blessing us and loving on us intimately and speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, then we can ask for divine wisdom and divine judgment, right? Judge making healthy judgment calls in our life, and ultimately divine discernment to then make a decision off of the judgment that we are making through the Holy Spirit. And you can ask God to make all of those calls for you and to lead for you. That's the whole point of sanctification. So to slowly leave and step out of the flesh, or maybe not slowly, some things we're called to literally run from, but that's the base of holistic health and holistic wellness, is that it starts with the soul first, having a healthy relationship with Christ, and then everything else becomes healthy after that.
Yeah, I think 2 Timothy 2:21 really speaks to that. Mm. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So just like how, you know, you and I, we started to get toxins out of our life,
yeah,
and sin out of our life, we are growing with the Lord, we're being sanctified, and holistically we are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, and that, so that's the thing too. So I mentioned in last week's episode that I became a moderator for a toxin-free living group.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
I was actually really excited because I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Well, what was funny is I went onto the group on Facebook and then I offered my services, and I didn't know that I was going to be asked. So they asked me, I was like, hey, if anyone has any questions, I'm a holistic health practitioner. I have a podcast and I talk about this stuff all the time. And literally the owner reached out to me and goes, I'm the owner of Holy Naturals and I would love you to join the team. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that sounds great. So Bree and I started talking, and I've noticed probably now with over a week of doing this, the number one thing that people keep discussing is how expensive it is to buy all natural, and how they're being sold consistently, especially young moms, I feel like, are sold this lifestyle that they feel like they have to obtain, where everything has to be toxin free and chemical free and a special diet. And I feel like I've answered the same question a million times in the group and outside of the group, where you guys have to understand that sustainability means to sustain and live well. So if you're not doing that and you're not giving yourself grace, which, by the way, 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So if you do not understand that, one, that holistic living, it takes time. It's also the lifestyle that you are currently living. It's your own version of holistic. Same with holistic. You're called to things biblically that not everyone else is called to. So it's understanding what you need now, right? What God's calling to you now. So who are you doing this for? And then going through your health history and your health goals, and then making a practical discernment life decision of, okay, yeah, there are some things I need to change in order to get better. There's some things I need to do to repent wise. Actually, I'm doing good in this. I just wanted to check in, so on and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and also it's way cheaper than anyone. Like, everyone thinks that they have to pay for these really expensive greenwashed brands, and you don't have to do that at all. They upcharge you. Sorry, love, what were you going to say?
Actually, I was going to jump on that bandwagon right there, because there's a huge difference between sustainable living and then consumerism. Yeah. And for everybody that wants the easy way out, it's going to cost you.
It does. Because it's not preventative healthcare.
Yeah. If you're willing to take those extra couple steps, buy the ingredients, which may look more expensive. You're not going to be like, say, like you're going to do detergent.
Laundry detergent.
And you want to buy all the ingredients. Buy the 5-gallon containers of all of them. You're going to spend $50 a container.
Yeah.
But it's going to last you for years.
Yeah. Jeremiah and I haven't made a dent into our giant bulk containers. I will say, though,
it is 15 gallons of detergent.
Well, it's not okay. It's not actually detergent. To give you guys our recipe for what we do, we use borax, which is food grade. We use sodium carbonate and sodium bicarbonate. So one is washing soda, and then the other one is baking soda. So whatever container you have, Jeremiah and I have like a 2-gallon container that we mix all of our stuff into. You do a third of each, and you have to slowly like mix it in so it's all blended properly. So you do a third of all of them, and that is your washing powder that you make. And then our liquid that we use for our fabric softener, which are, we have a smart washer. I had to get something like that because I have tons of sheets that I have to wash, and I wasn't going to take time doing this with the laundry. Our fabric softener, when we pour it in, which is 1/3 distilled water and then 2/3 white vinegar. So that's it. That's our whole, we don't even put scent in it or anything. And it comes out smelling so good and so clean, except for when we accidentally leave the laundry in for like a day and then it gets mildewy and then we have to rewash it again.
That's normally me right there.
Yeah. But,
or you could spend $50 and get a 9-ounce bottle. And
so a bunch of people are going to hear that and then go, oh, well, you can't put baking soda in with vinegar because it cancels it out. I know that our washer, does the fabric softener after everything's been washed. So the vinegar and distilled water goes in last, and that's what softens the clothes. And then we throw everything in the dryer with wool balls. But I'm just going to let you guys know, we first started only with baking soda and borax.
Yeah. And then we were wondering, like, how come the odor doesn't completely go away?
Yeah. And then we saved up because we found out that washing soda works a lot better.
Yeah.
So then we saved up for it. And our clothes weren't as clean as we wanted them to be for a few months, but we couldn't afford to buy it right away. And we budgeted it in, and then now we have it.
We're so crunchy.
But what's cool though is the washing soda we also use because we don't have a dishwasher, but we use that to remove oil out of our dishes. So when I'm scrubbing and we have a full extra layer of bacon grease that I can't get off that we're not using to cook chicken because we save our grease and our tallow. I use that to then sprinkle it on the dishes, and we have it in the kitchen as a little shaker, and we use that as an extra oil cleaner. And then I also use it for literally any type of oil spills or any deep cleans that we need in the house. So it's nice because we buy this and it works for so many things. We've even used it in the concrete on the backyard to the
carpet.
Yeah, we've used it for the carpet, for any type of, like, our dogs peed on the concrete in the backyard. And then we sprinkle that and spray it with water, and now it doesn't smell like pee. So that when you buy one thing, you find multiple uses for it, and it ends up saving you ungodly amounts of money. So, I mean, that had nothing to do with sanctification. But yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there, that God gives wisdom, I guess. If I were to sum that up. But ultimately, with point one that we wanted to hammer in, who are you doing this for? If you are somebody who is claiming Christ, you better walk the walk and not just talk the talk.
All right. So number two, what's number dose?
Oh, so it's, what is your healthcare history and goal? Because both are equally as important when it comes to holistic health.
Yeah, you need to know where you're coming from to know where you want to get to.
Exactly.
How do you find out your history?
Well, before I answer that question,
okay,
I need to tell you why I put it on here.
Tell us.
Because when I got added as a modifier on this group, it was so unbelievably frustrating because they were like, hey, can you answer all of our holistic health questions? And I was like, yeah, I'm not a doctor, but I can do my best. These homies, these people would basically come in and just be like, I need magnesium. What's the best kind? And I was like, I can't.
What are you missing?
Yes. How am I supposed to tell you? And that's the thing. People do that all the time online. They'll just Google like, what magnesium do I need? And I'm like, did you know that there are 10 different types of magnesiums? How on earth is someone going to know what you're deficient in? Or like, I don't know your diet. I don't know your lifestyle. So I created, like, they have to go to a special featured area and they have to go through and answer the list of things before they ask their question. Mm-hmm. And one of them is their health history. And if they feel uncomfortable listing it, obviously, because it's in a public group or, you know, a private public Facebook group, that you have to be approved to get into, but there's still thousands of people on it. So they have to specifically write out what they've been doing, what they have done, how long this has been going on, why do they think they need it, and then what they've tried, what hasn't worked, and what has, like, they need to do a little diagnostic. Otherwise, I can't help them in any way, shape, or form. So if you come to a doctor's office and you get annoyed having to fill out those forms of like, oh, my healthcare history, no, I don't smoke every day, or yes, I do drink every day, whatever it is, you can't be upset about that. That you should want doctors to give you an in-depth analysis before they start to diagnose you or treat you in any way, shape, or form. And if you complain about that, then yeah, you just want allopathic medicine. You don't want holistic medicine. You just want a pill that's going to make you feel better, and then you can continue doing whatever you're doing and what makes you comfy in your lifestyle. But holistic growth, the same way with holistic growth, is you are growing and learning your body. You are learning what's best for it, which means you're going to change lifestyle choices. If you are a professional athlete and then you trip and fall and you break a leg, you have to change your lifestyle choices for a season to build back up to that professional athlete status. If you're not a professional athlete, but that's your goal to get there, how are you going to train, which includes your diet, exercise? Like, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. This is an all-encompassing thing. And I don't care who you are. If you're going to look me square in the eye and go, well, I'm just pregnant, or I'm just a mom, or I'm just a dad who goes into an office. Excuse me, if you do something 6 to 8 hours a day, you are a professional athlete in it. If you are a mom, you are a professional mom. You are not just a mom. If you are an office athlete, you don't just go to the office. Do you know how hard it is to train your glutes and your core to be able to sit for 6 to 8 hours a day?
Well, that's why there's so many like hunchbacks and all that stuff.
Yes, because people don't train for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If your goal as an office athlete is to become pain-free in your neck, are you doing what it takes to train your body to be able to hold that position for 6 to 8 hours a day? That's Olympic status. That's crazy. But here's the thing. People don't tend to view themselves in a positive light and manner. And what are God's only two commandments?
To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And then the second one is to love thy neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah. So if you're truly loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, first and foremost, that already is our first rule, right? Being sanctified through holiness. So through Christ. But then the second part, if you really love your neighbor, then you're going to love yourself. You have to know how to take care of yourself. You have to love God's creation because you are God's creation. You have to understand the individual gifts that you bring to the table. That whole self-love mumbo jumbo is good until it doesn't reflect out to neighbors. People tend to use that as an excuse to be selfish, and that's unbiblical. Jesus was the first one to come and say, like, you have to learn how to love yourself in order to love others. That was his. That was his line.
Yeah.
And people don't take the time to do that. So if you truly want to understand holistic living and holistic health, it's understanding your health history, which, to answer your question earlier, Jeremiah, you have to know, you guys, we are made up of the last four generations of each parent. What's crazy is you can actually undo the toxic things that they've done that are bad, and also the good things that they've done. So it just depends on how you are treating your life now, right? That's why you need to know your health history, because if you have a history of thyroid issues, if you have a history of cancers in your body, if you have a history of heavy metal toxins in your family, or if your family was chilling at Chernobyl, it would be good to know that for your health detoxification, if you need that. So again, it's just taking that body awareness and then practically applying it to, okay, what are my healthcare goals? If I don't want to have stinky armpits all the time, maybe I should check my diet, or maybe I should sit in a sauna more, and like also be willing to try different things and have fun with it. So it's not just a one cure fits all. We're all different. And it's having that holistic mindset, right, love?
Yeah. I just want to help our listeners. What does a goal look like in holistic life? Would you say it looks more like cycling out all the bad ingredients and bad stuff in our household? Or would you say it's more of starting the change?
Yeah. Where are you at in your healthcare journey?
So from where we're starting, you know, in our healthcare journey, if I was a listener, what should I look for in a goal? Should this be like, you know, my own personal health, my surroundings? Should this be more of something I should consider financially, or should I be considering?
It's honestly whatever is harming you the most right now. So in holistic health, you want to get to the core problem. We're not here to we're not here to put band-aids over symptoms that you're having. If you have acne, if you have stinky poops, yeah, that may be a goal to not have those things anymore. But if your gut health is what's throwing that off, then your new goal is to fix your gut, not just to fix your acne or to fix your stinky poops. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do I discover that this is a gut issue or this is an environment issue?
You go get a diagnosis. Or you can hire someone like me. I go into people's homes, or, you know, I do it at the office. We go over lifestyle, and then we kind of, it's like you have to do process of elimination sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
It takes time. It's not like it's a one thing fixes all. Sometimes it's multiple things that you're having problems with, and you have to slowly go about it one by one, the same way that you slowly developed these problems over time. It takes patience, and that's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You have to be patient. You have to give yourself grace and also ask God for discernment during these things.
And you have to be diligent. You just can't do this for like a week and stop, and then a week and stop.
Yeah, because your body also doesn't reset very quickly. It takes time. It took time to get to this point. It's going to take time to get out of this point. But God made our bodies to self-heal in many ways. Not always. We still need allopathic medicine. We still need surgeries. We still need medicine to a degree. And when I mean medicine, I mean like pills and antibiotics. It is good to take these things every once in a while, but all the time? No, that's an extreme. The same way that it would be very extreme, I would say, if a client came to me and they were like, Savannah, I have chronic panic attacks. I need to take chamomile and rose all the time. Okay. All the time is not our goal though. Our goal is to get you to not have panic attacks anymore, which means that you slowly come off of these things, right? The same way that if you had a different type of medicine, like an allopathic medicine, your goal should be to slowly come off of those things. So I understand if someone needs help to figure out what their healthcare goals are because they don't know where to start. But the main question is, have you even really sat down and thought about it? Or do you just come in mindlessly to a healthcare provider and ask them to create the goals for you? Because most of the time they don't have your best interests at heart. Many, whether it's a holistic person or not, or just like a doctor, a lot of the times they want to take your money. A lot of the times they don't care as long as you're coming back and you become a cash cow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're not your own healthcare advocate, no one else is going to be. And that means you need to understand your body. You need to understand your healthcare past and your future. What were you going to say, baby?
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to say was like, you were talking about the elimination type of like process of elimination. One thing I've noticed with doctors, they do the exact opposite. They do this process of adding.
Yeah.
So like you'll take one thing for the headache and then all of a sudden now you have something else and now here's another pill. And that now you're taking this headache pill and this stomach pill, and now you got to take another pill because of my foot.
My grandma was on 15 medications at one time.
My grandfather was on, I think, like 30. He had a shoebox. He traveled to Argentina with a shoebox full of medicine, and he went to the doctor there, and the doctor grabbed his like whole medicine thing and threw it in the trash, and he said, "You're done."
We're not going to advocate that here, by the way.
Yeah.
You should get...
Anecdotal.
Get opinions from multiple sources and then decide what's best for you. Whether a doctor is saying it or a holistic naturopathic doctor, I don't care.
Get opinions.
Get opinion. Well, just know that it doesn't matter who's saying it. It's an opinion. You're the one who always makes the decision at the end of the day. And I'm going to just say it again. You are the one who makes the final decision. And if you're in a Christian marriage, you and your husband.
Yeah.
Or you and your wife. The husband has the final say. He knows what's best for you. You can be an advocate, healthcare advocate for yourself.
This is always a fun conversation in our marriage because you're our holistic health provider.
I know. But Jeremiah still has the final say. Yeah. He does it all the time.
It's fun.
Especially though. When I don't want to take fire cider. But, and I made it, so I know how intense it is. But that's why also leading into our final point today, preventative care is the best care. And the only way you can do preventative care is if you truly understand your healthcare history and your goals. But then, final point, is going into what are the operational steps to get there. So once you understand a basis of what you want and what your goals are, and then when you achieve those goals, which is awesome, Jeremiah and I have achieved a lot of healthcare goals just in the past 2 years of us being married. Now, how do you prevent from making sure you don't go back there again? That means you completed your operational steps. And sometimes they change over time, right? You don't have to do things as drastically as the first time you did it. Sometimes it gets easier. Sometimes you don't have to dose as much. Whatever it is, you have to be patient and in the moment with your body and check in with yourself and understand what your body is saying.
Yeah.
Your body's language.
And biblically, you got to equip yourself with the body armor of God. And that is our preventative care for sin and everything else in our life.
Yeah, that goes back to the sanctification steps, right? Yeah. That's why getting in the Word every day, praying every day, especially out loud, whether it's with your spouse or not, with friends. I mean, when two or more gather, the Holy Spirit dwells with you, right? So it's understanding having that fellowship, that prayer life, and having that Bible in the Word time is so important.
So good, yeah.
And because you're having preventative care and sanctification, but you're also then having preventative care in your holistic lifestyle. So that's why Jeremiah and people may be like, oh my gosh, but what are the operational steps? What do I do? You need to have a healthcare team, people that you trust. And if you don't have people that you trust yet, that is your next healthcare goal. To find and take the time in your area to find doctors that you trust, whether they be allopathic or non-allopathic. I have told 1,000,001 people in this group, go get a diagnosis. They've asked me a ton of healthcare questions, and I'll say, until you get a diagnosis, I cannot help you. No one can help you. It becomes a lip service of, oh yeah, well, I tried this for this eczema, or I think it may be eczema, but I'm not sure. My kid has a bite mark, but I can't tell if it's a bite mark. Why are you risking it? Just go into the doctor. And if one doctor doesn't answer, go into another one.
So I don't know if you considered this, but a lot of the people that may be saying that they're on government healthcare.
Yeah.
What do they do?
Someone with government healthcare, I mean, until you get an actual diagnosis, it's still, you just pay your, what is it, like $20 to go in and see your urgent care doctor or provider, or even like the main doctor provider that you have. And then you can say like, hey, I didn't get a diagnosis yet. They said that they'd guess, and I want another opinion, and you can just go get another opinion. I think people look at doctors and then they think that that's the final say, that they have the final say, and they don't. You can say that I don't necessarily agree with this doctor's diagnosis. I'd like to get it checked, and they still have to pay for it. So you have a premium that you pay for a reason, and it's okay to challenge what any doctor says. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, they're paying for it, even if it's only $10 a month, even if it's free on Medicare or Medi-Cal. You can go into different Medicare and Medi-Cal doctors and see different opinions.
Yeah.
And then pick the doctor that you want.
Do you think like one of the big problems is people are not equipping themselves with the knowledge before they go in there and having the confidence to have these conversations?
No, I do think a lot of people, you know, like they Google things. There's a reason why the group that I'm in is so big, and then they get this info. I think they're overwhelmed by information and they don't necessarily trust doctors. So they go in to a healthcare representative, like let's say you're on Medicaid or Medicaid, I don't even know, all the Meta whatevers. They go into a government doctor and then they give a diagnosis and then they go somewhere else and they get a different diagnosis. And now they've gone to five different people and they have five different diagnoses and they don't know which one's correct. And then they don't know who to trust because of it. Or they'll hear four doctors say the same thing and they just don't want to believe it. Or they went to these four doctors and then they saved up a lot of money to go see a naturopathic doctor because that's not covered by insurance. And then the naturopathic doctor says something completely different than the four other doctors said that were free. And then they don't know who to believe or who to trust. So I do think that obviously when it comes to healthcare, we did mention this in the Holistic 101 episode, you just have to learn how to budget for it. If you are noticing that there are things going on with your body and you're sick and you have not put that in your budget, but you decided to have kids or you decided to, like us, get dogs, and then you don't have the money to take care of yourself, then that probably wasn't the smartest decision. I mean, I understand having children, it's not always something that you can plan, but okay, then are you making the right financial decisions to actually provide and take care of your kids and your family the way that you should? Are you living in the right area? Like Jeremiah and I are making big decisions about where we should live and start a family because financially Orange County is not sustainable for us, which circles back to sustainable lifestyle, right?
Yeah, I agree that it all comes back to sustainable living. I think a lot of this is not expensive and it's not really hard to do the research. Mm-mm. And it is not really that difficult to make these changes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think like a lot of the questions I get asked all the time is like, how do I help my kid with a cold or with a cough or with a fever? And I'll respond back, have you made fire cider? And most people don't even know what it is. But fire cider preventatively is getting all of the fresh herbs and dried, but you want to get all of the herbs from this year's harvest for spring. Everything that's wild, like for us, it's dandelion root. We have a lot of prickly lettuce here, stinging nettles.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different things, sourgrass. So we harvest all of these things on top of a bunch of dried herbs that we have as well. And we create fire cider for the year. And Jeremiah and I make a massive, Jeremiah and I make a massive batch, like enough where I can sell most of it or even give away a ton of it.
Yeah, I think it's 2 gallons.
Yeah. And so we make enough that technically could last us years, but we always make a fresh batch and ferment it. And then we have batches continuously going, which is great. But here's the thing. Us doing it that one day, that one time, that is our preventative health care for years to come. And then we're ready for ear infections, for fevers, for colds, for things that are more minor, and to use it even preventatively, just take it every once in a while. If we know we're going to be around people who are sick, we use it as gifts for people. In that way, it is holistic living because our ancestors have been doing that for the past thousands of years. That's how they planned. They harvested. They planned when it was the best time to slaughter their animals, to start packing their food and storing it away for winter. These are things that we should be doing. Like, we're not used to doing preventative things because we just have everything at our fingertips at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Right around the block.
Consumers.
Yeah. Or on Amazon. And that's why I get so angry with these greenwash products that are being sold to moms, specifically young moms, where they feel like they have the pressure where they have to pay for really expensive brands to sell them their really expensive laundry detergent that's not even as good for you or as inexpensive as you just making it yourself. So I hope and I'm praying that this episode is encouraging and not daunting to people, but I also want you guys to understand that you are accountable for your life. And if you really want to see change, you have to hold yourself accountable to the Lord. And you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get frustrated some days. And when you go to God and give those things to God, He's going to fill you and recharge you and help you to understand that things take time, and he's here to support you through it. And also, that's what your community's for. That's what Jeremiah and I are here for. But you have to make the change and commit to it and stay with it. Otherwise, you're not going to see the results that you want and that where God's taking you.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I just, this idea came to me. You know, if you're trying to achieve this lifestyle and you feel like some of this stuff is a little expensive for like ingredients or herbs or whatever, whatnot, when you're doing holistically sustainable living, you're buying in bulk. Everything's going to be in bulk.
You have to.
Find another mom that will do this with you.
Yeah.
Just split it. It'll be cheaper.
We did that with our buying our half cow with my parents.
Yeah, we did.
And that made it possible.
We do it with our firesider. You know, we make so much, we're able to sell a couple. It helps
us. It pays for itself.
Rejuvenate that fund to redo our next one.
Yeah, that's true. And even doing it like as a group or like friends getting together and doing stuff. I mean, like even Liz and I, the other day, we made vanilla together because by the time it will be done, it will be ready for Christmas a few months ago. And she bought the beans and I provided the alcohol and the bottles. And it was like,
yeah, you got a plan.
Yeah. So, but it makes it fun. And that's actually one of the things that I talked about actually to a woman who she posted anonymously because she was embarrassed to say that she's like a new mom and her mother-in-law lives with her and she doesn't know how to become toxin free. And she wanted to cut things out, but she felt like everything was too expensive and too daunting and it was too overwhelming. And I just wrote, I was like, I'm a holistic health practitioner and Jeremiah and I barely get by. The reason why we live sustainably, yes, do I love doing it? Absolutely. It's fun. But two, my husband makes it fun. We kind of make date nights out of it or days out of it. When we made our own shampoo and conditioner, how excited was I to come and show you?
You kidding? When we first started dating, one of my Christmas gifts to Savannah was a candle kit, and we made homemade candle kits.
Yeah. It's so
we
fun.
We had like bergamot and all these different scents and stuff. It was fun.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And then imagine how much your kids will love that, right? Like you have to be the example and set the tone for your household. And if you're not excited to do it, no one else is going to be excited. Even when I make gnarly medicine, I'm excited and I want Jeremiah to try it because I'm excited for him to try something that I made. Yes. That's for
Savannah,
our family.
Savannah literally prays over the stuff she's doing.
I do.
It is awesome.
Well, because you should, right?
Yeah. No, I just like, it's not just the enjoyment. It's the love. It's the passion. It's who is she doing this for?
There you go. Well, and that's the thing too. When you get excited about it, others around you are going to get excited and want to do it with you. And I'm not joking. I actually wrote this in one of the comments, Jeremiah. I was like, when Jeremiah and I, you know, made our shampoo and conditioner together, and then we showered together because we have to save money on water. I was like, we're lathering up together, but it's also like fun and sexy and intimate. Well, it can be, and most of the time it's not. But at the end of the day, what I'm saying is it's your state of mind, right? It's, are you living within the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Are you truly having that love, joy? I'm not going to go through, I feel like I say it every episode, but are you having those fruits through every season and really being like thankful for every season that you're in and understanding God's purpose? Or are you seeing it and looking in the mirror and being like, wow, I'm just poor? And Jeremiah and I could easily look at each other and say that living here.
We're both self-employed. We're relying on
God,
literally every month.
Yeah. Every day. So what I'm saying is you need to change your attitude and understand the joy of making these things, and you got to make time for it, right? But when you make the time, it really is like super easy, and a lot of it doesn't take time. Making your deodorant, your own toothpaste. I'm trying to think everything. We literally, and it saves us tons of money on top of that. And then I don't know. It's like a fun date night. To sum this up, we wanted you guys to understand that it really is so much more simple than you're making it to be when it comes to holistic health and sustainability, because you are right now currently sustaining a lifestyle that you put together. So if you want to change that lifestyle, if you want to change it, you have to practically go through it with the Lord, set practical goals by understanding your past and your health and your traits, what you do, why you do it, and then set up a step-by-step plan and be flexible. That plan's going to change. It's not going to be perfect, but have those goals, those mini goals to set. Jeremiah and I started with the laundry and it all trickled from there. I just want to thank you guys for listening to this episode, and I don't want you to feel discouraged when you get a big list of how to help yourself like we gave last week of herbs and supplements. Take your time, save up for those things, and also figure out, is that really what I need right now? And be practical, because we're not here to encourage you to be greenwashed in any way. We want you to slowly become green in your own way.
Like a leprechaun.
Yeah. May you all become Irish by the end of this. And may the Lord bless you, everyone. Anyway, we love you guys, and we're praying for you always. And I, as we always say,
keep casting seeds.
We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.